The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
The first presidential election I remember taking an active interest in was in 1976. Jimmy Carter was running against Gerald Ford. I think the reason this election stands out in my memory is that I was in elementary school and the school held a mock election. Even way back then, the public schools were actively indoctrinating the students with liberal ideologies, though none of us realized it. I remember the teacher giving us the basics on both candidates. Now, most likely we were told more about them than I remember now, but what sticks out in my mind is that Ford was considered as sort of a fool, being kind of stupid, known for falling down and tripping a lot. I don't remember learning much more about him. But we were told a lot about Carter, all superficial things. He was known for being a poor peanut farmer, and in rural Wisconsin, many of us kids grew up on farms, so we could relate to that. We were also told that Carter was humble and always stood up for the little guy, and how everyone loved his big toothy smiles. I do not recall hearing anything about their political stands or party platforms, but it was obvious the teacher endorsed Jimmy Carter, and of course, he won that mock election in our school, and our teacher was pleased. She was even more pleased when he won the real thing. 4 years later, the students had a little more information. The Iran hostage crisis had been going on for over a year. You might recall that's how the ABC news program Nightline got started. Originally known as the Iran crisis, America held hostage, day number 444. Ted Koppel can thank Iran for his 25-year career. But the economy was bad. I remember gas stations panicking because they had to add another digit to their signs as the price of gas went above $1 a gallon. Carter had proven himself to be the worst president in our short lifetimes. But still, another mock election was held at school in 1980. It was Carter versus Ronald Reagan this time. Reagan, we were told, really had no experience in politics, which was false. He had been the governor of California for 8 years, though as kids we wouldn't know about that. He was presented to us in school as being a former actor and a man who supported big corporations rather than middle-class Americans. He was also presented to us as a warmonger who was going to launch us into World War III. He was the villain the left hated. Clearly, our teachers wanted us to vote for Carter again, but in this mock election, Reagan won. And I remember I was very interested in 1980 to see who would win the real thing. In fact, I tuned in to watch the election results that night, and the minute the polls closed, all the major networks called the race for Reagan. In fact, I took a Polaroid picture of the results from the TV screen that night, and I still have it. It shows Reagan with a huge bar on the graph, and next to it, a tiny sliver for Carter. Reagan won 44 states. Carter took 6 plus D.C. Then on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 1981, day one of Reagan's presidency, our 53 American hostages were released from Iran, something Carter hadn't been able to accomplish. Reagan went down in history as one of America's greatest presidents, who refused to negotiate with terrorists, presided over the end of the Cold War, the tearing down of the Berlin Wall, and at home, inflation fell by nearly 10 points during his first term, as unemployment dropped to only 5% and the economy grew by 40%. So now we're past Inauguration Day 2025. I watched a little bit of the ceremonies. First time I've watched a presidential inauguration in a while now. I had to cringe as all the living former presidents were introduced with great honor and respect. What a bunch of snakes. Bill Clinton there with Hillary. George W. Bush looked especially goofy, making weird faces and acting like a 10-year-old for some reason. Obama there without Michelle, because she stated, "I don't want to attend because I don't want to be a phony." Too late, Big Mike. And of course, in the same corner sat Biden and Harris. A lot has changed since I was a kid, and I've learned a lot about the political theater we're subjected to every election cycle, about all the dishonesty, lies, and deception of politicians. Bush Sr. was a devoted globalist puppet. The Clinton administration was so corrupt, I didn't think it was possible that our American government could ever get any worse than that. In fact, my wife and I seriously considered moving to Canada when he was in office. I guess we dodged a bullet on that one. Then there was George W., whose lies I believed and whose presidency I supported until I didn't. And then came the satanic messiah himself, Barack Hussein Obama. I'd need an entire book to deal with him. But with all these guys, we've endured endless wars funding the military-industrial complex, endless backroom deals with Big Pharma, shady deals with our enemies, spying on and persecuting American citizens with impunity, endless bickering between the only two parties we're given a choice of, and a steady move toward one-world globalism. Meanwhile, Congress has really never done anything positive in my lifetime that I can recall. You do realize they don't work for us, right? You do realize they're not public servants. They simply tax and spend, regardless of which party holds power. They make life as difficult as possible for the citizens while exempting themselves from all the burdens they heap on our shoulders. They get perks and benefits no one else does, including their full salaries for life, even when they leave office. How many former members of Congress are we still paying full salaries for, even as the average American struggles to buy groceries? I can only think of a small handful of these politicians that I have any respect for at all. Some make some very powerful speeches and some very common sense appeals for real positive change, yet nothing ever changes, except for the ever-increasing astounding numbers on America's debt clock. Legislators come to office earning $174,000 a year, but somehow, within just a year or two, their net worth is in the millions. I wonder how that happens and why nobody ever talks about it. And now Donald Trump has returned to the White House. After the inauguration, I watched Kamala drive away in her limo and Joe fly away in a helicopter. I'd like to think the nightmare of the past 4 years is over, but I have the feeling that it's not going to be that easy. Case in point, the nest of snakes at the ceremony, made up of pure corruption and evil, embodied in the former presidents as well as the D.C. swamp creatures that appear to be impossible to remove. I would like to embrace a feeling of positivity and hope for this nation's future under the new leadership of Donald Trump, and I hope he won't be as naive and manipulated as he was in his first term, and I hope he really believes what he says. He certainly says what most Americans are so desperate to hear, yet he was the one who brought us Operation Warp Speed, who signed off on red flag gun laws, and who embraced the LGBTQP+ movement wholeheartedly. The morning Biden left office, one of the last things he did was to issue presidential pardons for the mad scientist Anthony Fauci, personally responsible for the deaths of millions. He also pardoned all those on the criminal J6 Select Committee who held a kangaroo court-style investigation, clearing the way for lawfare and persecution of thousands of innocent, patriotic Americans. And he also pardoned his entire family. I knew these pardons would come, but I hope they wouldn't. It would appear Trump is keeping his word on several of his promises. One of his first actions was to pardon the J6 political prisoners, all of them, including those who haven't yet been charged. It's about time. He also issued many executive orders, including the creation of the Department of Government Efficiency, an order to stop federal censorship, an order to provide price relief amid inflation, and to freeze all federal regulations pending review. He also announced that going forward, the government will only recognize two genders, male and female. And he signed an order called Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. Under this order, all radical gender ideology guidance, communication, policies, and forms are removed. Agencies will cease pretending that men can be women and women can be men when enforcing laws that protect against sex discrimination. The word woman now means an adult human female, and the executive order directs that government identification like passports and personnel records will reflect biological reality and not self-assess gender identity. It's about time. He removed the United States from the World Health Organization and the Paris Climate Accord, as well as put a stop to the Green New Deal and climate change initiatives. He declared a national emergency at our borders and closed down an app set up by the previous administration for illegals to use to receive aid in crossing the border illegally. Meanwhile, ICE is preparing for what they call a big operation in so-called sanctuary cities across the nation. And we can only hope that the wokeism foisted upon us the past 4 years is over. Major corporations have already abandoned DEI, and now Trump has ended all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs across the federal government. He also unlocked energy pipelines and the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling and declared a national energy emergency. And in a move I never thought I'd see, he signed an executive order requiring the Secretary of the Interior to officially rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. He enacted many more executive orders on his first day, but from where I sit, it seems he has kept his promises to the American people and is putting America and Americans first. He's bringing common sense back to the federal government, ending the nightmare of wokeness and liberal communist insanity, and working to make our nation a thriving, safe, and prosperous country, rather than the laughingstock it's been. Our military will also be revived, offering the hope of national security. We have yet to see what he'll do regarding Ukraine. We know many in Congress will fight to keep that war going because many in Congress are profiting personally from it. I'd love to see him launch an investigation into where all that money has gone and where all the arms and ammunition has ended up, because it's been reported that at least half of the weapons we've sent there have been sold around the world on the black market. It'll also be interesting to see how he deals with the big pharma swamp and the multitude of new pandemics the globalists have been working on. His first press conference on January 21st, though, was concerning. He announced a big initiative involving artificial intelligence, particularly aimed at healthcare, and the potential of creating new mRNA vaccines within 48 hours of a diagnosis. This should deeply concern us all. And we also need to be prepared for the enormous pushback that the left has been planning for so long. They knew this day would come, and they're prepared to unleash mayhem on our nation in order to thwart the idea of America first and traditional American values. In all this, above all else, we must understand and know in our hearts that God is in control. We've longed for a return to common sense and an end to insanity and madness. You know, God always works from darkness to light. I pray we've been through the darkest of the dark and that a new dawn is here. Regardless of what lies ahead, don't look to Donald Trump as our savior. If he's anything, he's God's tool to do his will. Instead, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Does he know you? Is your name written in his book? Because nothing else really matters. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com, and ask for message number 453.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at WisconsinChristianNews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.